I want to share with you again that on Wednesday night, we'll continue to look at the book of Psalms and how we pray the Psalms. This Wednesday night, I particularly will be sharing with you some videos from Holy Cross Abbey and how they pray the Psalms. Got a couple of short, very short intro videos, and then hopefully we'll be able to tap into one of their recorded live streams. They stream three of their prayer times every day for people to participate with them. And I want you to be able to see what the monks do in a monastery and how they pray the Psalms by chanting them. At Holy Cross Abbey, they particularly go through the book of Psalms every 2 weeks and pray every psalm in those 2 weeks. And then the next week, next 2 weeks, they do it again. So a number of times through the year. And their prayer services normally are about 20 minutes, unless it includes Mass, which is the early morning one. And we'll talk about the structure of that and talk about how they do it and how it's been done for centuries. And I will share that with you, and I'll bring some books that pretty much outline everything that they do so that you can see that and understand that. My time there at Holy Cross Abbey for a week was just absolutely wonderful. A great place to move away from things, be disengaged with things, and to just sit and have some time to speak with God and to listen for what God had to say. And I found, I will tell you this, I found as I moved away from the prayer time, Vespers prayer time at 5:30, as I moved away from that and walked back to the guest house, which was about a 10-minute walk back, within me was resounding everything that they just did. And the words were going over and over again in my head as I walked away to go back to the guest house to have supper. So I hope it'll be something that will encourage you. And we want to look at that this week before we go further into the Psalms about how to pray the Psalms. We had a wonderful session this morning with how to be unsuccessful. If you want some help in how to be unsuccessful, I encourage you to come at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. If you feel like you've already capitalized how to be unsuccessful, trust me, this will help you be more unsuccessful. Always will be. It was a good time. And what these videos are about is about talking about how when we live as God wants us to live, it looks as though we're unsuccessful in the world. If we live as God wants us to live, it appears as though we are unsuccessful in the world. What we talked about this morning was, is volume of things that you're doing, quantity of things that you're doing, more important than depth? Is volume more important than depth? And as I shared with them this morning, I laid out all of my sermons that I planned to do before my sabbatical, before April 1st. I lined out all of these sermons from August until November that I was planning on preaching. No, I did not prepare them all. I didn't write a manuscript for all of them. I just lined out what I was going to preach and what scriptures I was going to use. And I had no inclination in my mind what I was going to do for our Sunday morning 9 o'clock time that we call Growing in Christ now. I didn't decide until after the sabbatical what I was going to do for that time. And what we did this morning in the video feeds right into this passage. Is volume more important than depth? And in this passage, Lady Wisdom gives us an invitation. And if we read down all the way to the end, where I didn't read the last part of it, but I may read parts of it, Lady Folly also provides an invitation. Okay, Lady Wisdom at the beginning of the chapter, and then there's some verses in between. And then starting down in verse 13, Lady Folly provides an invitation also. One of the things that I have learned greatly through my years of ministry, I've been thinking back on this, and I started ministry in 1996. And since that time, one of the things that I've always tried to do is go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I have found that spiritual concepts are hard to understand. They are. I'll admit to you. Spiritual concepts are hard to understand. So few people rarely search deeply. Few people rarely search deeply. They kind of just want to go over the surface of things and kind of want to look at things. And I know these few facts about my spiritual life, and that's all I need. They don't seem to go deeper into places that I think God's calling us to. Now, we talked about that a little bit back there. Staying on the surface with spiritual concepts is easier. It doesn't take as much time. That way, I have time in my life to do other things that I want to do. It's just kind of sticking with the same thing. But as in many sections of Scripture it talks about, that's just like eating baby food the rest of your life and never moving forward in any ways. I just want the food that's easy to chew, easy to swallow. That's simple. I don't want anything elaborate. I don't want anything expensive. And it's the same way about spiritual concepts, because people often prefer the simpler things of the spiritual life, the simpler things. It's if I go to church every week, that's enough. I don't need to do more. If in our society nowadays, the way it's getting is if I go to church once a month, I've done everything I need to do. Okay, it's more prevalent that way. I know most of you are here every week, but a lot of folks believe that if I go once a month, that's all I need to do. And that keeps me going and keeps me moving forward. There's a need to go much deeper. I mean, I understand that you want to grab a hold of the simpler things and you want to say, yes, I've got those things. I can hold on to them well. I can trust them well. It's not challenging me in any way to go much deeper, to look after deeper things. But I want you to think about this scripture. Do you see what this scripture is saying? Because this scripture is saying that Lady Wisdom has done a great deal. An incredible deal to get things ready for us. Lady Wisdom has done so much to prepare for us. The very beginning, it says that Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars, seven being the scriptural number of completeness, of wholeness. She set up a very elaborate house. And then she has gotten together and made an incredible meal with meats and with wine, and she has set the table. You know what I wonder? Should we take Lady Wisdom at her word and see what she's prepared for us? Should we actually take Lady Wisdom at her word and come and see what she's prepared for us? A lot of Christians never do. They've come forward somewhere, they've accepted Jesus Christ, they've been baptized, they've joined a church, and they feel like they've done what they needed to do for their spiritual life. But you see, Lady Wisdom has set up something incredible for us. And maybe we really need to come and look and see what it is. We need to look and see what Lady Wisdom has set up for us. Now, let me make a distinction here. Wisdom is not knowledge. Just. Okay? Wisdom is able to take knowledge and apply it to your life to live it. Okay? A lot of people have spiritual knowledge. Unfortunately, in our day and age, that is decreasing greatly. Some people have no idea about Bible stories. Pastors no longer can just reference a Bible story and everybody knows the details of it. I more often have to tell you the whole story so that you can grab a hold of it. Because people don't remember the stories. They don't know the stories. They haven't been using the stories. But some of the people know some of the stories. Now, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. Because then things get turned around. And people don't remember things right. But wisdom is taking that knowledge that you've learned, that spiritual truth that you've learned, and how do I apply that to my life? How do I use that in my life for my betterment? How do I use that to grow? How do I use that to go deeper? That's what wisdom is. And Lady Wisdom has prepared an incredible thing for us. The thing is, most people never accept the invitation. Wisdom has established an expansive house and set out an elaborate meal. That's what wisdom has done for us. And many people just pass over it. Don't need it. Got enough smarts. Got enough know-how. And I don't need what Lady Wisdom's going to show me. I don't know about you, but I grew up on seafood. Living at the coast, we had seafood often and a lot, and normally in amounts that were not justifiable. I'll just put it that way, okay? That's why today I really don't like fish, because fish was cheap and easy to get where I grew up. That was cheap meat. Especially from the wholesale place right down the street from the house. So we had fish all the time. But now you talk about shrimp. I can eat some shrimp. And you're not going to wait for me to eat a pound or two. I'm going to be done eating before you eat your meal. I love shrimp. Every family gathering, we had at least 5 pounds of shrimp. At least. Now, there were 15 or 20 of us, and too bad they didn't get there soon enough. Because I was there to eat my share. My grandfather grew horseradish, and we made our own cocktail sauce. Just absolutely wonderful. If you were to invite me over and you had steamed shrimp with Old Bay seasoning on it, if you don't make steamed shrimp without Old Bay seasoning, I'm not sure I want it. Because that's the way I grew up with it. That's the way I like it the best. If you're going to make a crab cake and you don't put Old Bay seasoning in, some of you are looking at me like you got no idea what Old Bay seasoning is. I'm sorry. That's the biggest thing I can tell you. I'm sorry if you don't know what it is. I love Old Bay seasoning on corn on the cob. It's absolutely wonderful. I love it on popcorn. I think I find excuses to eat Old Bay seasoning, is what I do. Okay? If you've never had it, go buy you a little tin of it. Well, actually, they're plastic now. Go buy you a little plastic thing of it and try it on something. It's great on steak. It's great on all kinds of things. I don't know everything that's in it, but it's wonderful. You know, if you set out a meal like that with scallops and with oysters and with shrimp and some flounder, I love flounder. I'll eat flounder from now until the day I die, if I could, I think, until tomorrow. If you were to set that out as a table and there was some lobster there and there was some crayfish and there was some steak, how many of you would pass that up? How many of you would actually pass up a meal that had all that? Okay, we need to, I guess we need to have some vegetables. I don't know why, but we ought to throw some green beans on there. And we ought to throw some mustard greens. I don't know how many of you like mustard greens. Okay, we ought to throw some other things on there, like some fried apple. How many of you would say, "I'm sorry, I'm too busy to come for your meal"? Because what I want you to see is that's what Lady Wisdom has done. She has set out this kind of meal in an incredibly elaborate way and has invited you. Are you coming? Are you going to partake? Now, this is the point I want to read to you what Lady Folly says down towards the end of the chapter. You still have your Bible open because Jan doesn't have that to put on the TVs. Starting in verse 13, listen to this. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. A second invitation in this chapter. An invitation to a stolen meal. An invitation that's probably nothing more than water and bread. Lady Folly. She hasn't set up an elaborate house or an elaborate table. She's actually gone out and stolen the food that she's going to serve you. And may all the simple come because you want to stay simple. Because you don't want to be challenged in life. You just want to be status quo from day to day. All the simple come and eat of this meal that has been stolen from somewhere else. And stay simple. That's the second invitation that's given out in this passage. And when you put those two things together, how starkly different they are. I mean, incredibly different, isn't it? Lady Wisdom has set out a meal of all the best meats and foods and has wine. All of that. In an elaborate house that has been set up for everybody to be there. And Lady Folly is just sitting in the doorway. And says, "Hey, come on in. I've got stolen water and bread to eat. You'll enjoy it." Now, when you set it up that way, doesn't it seem awful? I know I should choose this. I know I should take time with this elaborate meal that has incredible taste. That has incredible benefits for me. It helps me to learn things scripturally. It helps me to know what God's saying to me. It helps me to know how to use those things to live my life. And over here, well, maybe tomorrow we'll steal some more water and some more bread so you can have another meal. There's no guarantee of another meal, even. None. The rest of the book of Proverbs gives you things to help you understand wisdom, to dig deeper. One of the things that we talked about in our time this morning, just a little bit, I want to bring to here. Luke chapter 5, there's an incredible story about Jesus and the disciples. An absolutely incredible story right at the beginning of Luke chapter 5. Let me read that for you. It's not a very long passage. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. I don't know how many of you are fishermen. I fished most of my teenage life as often as I could. My uncle used to pick me up on Sunday mornings and we'd go fishing. We only fished for panfish, by the way. That's all we fished for. And if it was raining and we were catching fish, we stayed out there. But if we weren't catching any fish, we went home. Simon Peter and the other fishermen have been fishing all night because it's cooler and they've caught nothing. Besides the fact, for lake fish, pond fish, you don't fish in the deep waters. You fish around the edge of the shore because they're hiding there underneath brambles. My uncle had a friend that, oh boy, he was extraordinaire when it came to fishing. Scott would outfish us every time we went. All his tackle was in a shoebox. The first thing he'd do when we get out in the boat is he'd open the top of the shoebox and dump it. And I looked at my uncle and I said, "Why'd he do that?" He said, "Ask him." Scott said, "Well, it's going to end up there. Might as well start the day there." He always caught more fish than we did. He was not very brilliant for much else in life. But he caught more fish than us always. And if all three of us went out and we weren't catching anything, off to home we go. We're not going to sit in a boat all day catching nothing. And these guys have caught nothing. And Jesus says, "Put out into the deep water." And what does Peter say? "Oh yeah, just because you said that, we'll do that." I can imagine Peter kind of saying it this way. "Yeah, we're going to show you. You don't catch. You're not a fisherman. I've never seen you. But you know what? We're going to placate you, and we're going to push out to the deep water, and we're going to throw the net over so you can see that's not how you fish." And they had to call another boat in because they had too many fish for two boats. Now, I've never been on a fishing trip like that. I've been out on a charter boat and caught coolers full of flounder, but never enough that it sunk the boat. They pulled their boat up on shore and said, "You know what? I want to swim in the deep water with you, Jesus. I want to go deeper. I want to find out what you have for us. I want to see that in a deeper way. I want to go deeper." You see, this scripture says that when we eat from the table of wisdom, then we truly live and walk in deeper spiritual insight. I guess I want to say it another way. Don't just eat the spiritual junk food. Move deeper where it's harder to understand. Lady Wisdom wants to help you understand it. Will you accept her invitation and go deeper? Will you accept Jesus' invitation and go deeper? I've told you my desire before. My desire is by the time I get to heaven, I want to know God so well that there's no surprises. Now, what's the chances of me being able to do that? Probably slim and none. But am I going to stop trying? No. I want to know God so deeply so that when I get there, I can go even deeper. Because I don't believe when we get to heaven, we'll know the answer to everything. I'm sorry for those of you that are expecting that. I don't think Scripture teaches that. When we get there, there's still going to be learning to go on. There's still going to be understanding about who God is, if nothing else, because I finally get to see Jesus Christ face to face. There's going to be something more. But I'm trying not to miss out on it here. And I want to challenge you to go deeper in your spiritual life than you have ever gone. Take the jump. Swim out into deep water with me. I worked 2 summers as a lifeguard. I'll save you if you start drowning, okay? Think I still know how to do it. I don't know. Let's try. Are you willing to go deeper spiritually? This church has been going deeper spiritually all year. You know what? We'll never get to the bottom. But we can swim deeper and deeper with God. Lady Wisdom has this banquet all set for you. I haven't been downstairs to find out what it looks like downstairs, but I've been hearing the ladies talk about how wonderful and incredibly decorated it is downstairs. I want you ladies to think about this. Lady Wisdom has decorated the meal that she's inviting to you better than what you've seen downstairs. Now, I don't know who I just offended by saying that they didn't decorate well enough. I think it's my neighbor. Lady Wisdom has decorated an incredible table for you. Are you coming to the banquet? Are you going, will you partake in the banquet of Lady Wisdom? Will you? Are you coming? Are you going to continue to intake spiritual food? What are you going to, what's the continuing, ongoing thing? Are you going to do it? The table's set. And as we know that when Jesus tells the same story, what do we hear? A lot of people say, "I'm too busy to come. I don't have time to go that deep spiritually. It's too difficult. It's too hard." With everything you've got to do in your life, you don't have time not to come to the banquet. Because you're not going to be as good in all the other things if you don't come to the banquet first. You need to make time for the banquet that Lady Wisdom has set out for you. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us the availability to come to an incredible banquet. One is the banquet of eternal life. And there are still those in our community, in our world, that have not accepted the invitation to that banquet. Help us find them so that we can give them their invitation that's engraved personally for them with their name on it. And it says upon it that God invites you to a banquet because God loves you. But Lord, there's another banquet that you've set for us. Some of us might consider ourselves too simple to go deep. But Lady Wisdom says, if you're simple, come and eat. Come and partake. Come elaborate meats. The best of wines. Lord, may we not be fooled by Lady Folly and eat a stolen meal. But when we come and have the very best of meals that you have for us. Lord, help us to go into the deep waters and not be afraid. Because you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit walk with us there. And Lady Wisdom is giving us everything we need to walk that path. Help us to partake of it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.